If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
President Trump claims that he meant to say, "I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia who meddled in our election." And Melania is now saying that at their wedding, she meant to say, "I don't."
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to Joel McHale. Plus, Joel keeps the conversation going exclusively for this podcast backstage at Studio 8G. But first, a closer look.
President Trump met Russian President Vladimir Putin in Finland today and delivered one of the most surreal performances by a president in modern American history. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Even before he got to Finland, Trump's foreign trip was one of the more disastrous ones in recent memory. He was in the UK, where he met Queen Elizabeth, and he immediately embarrassed himself by breaking royal protocol and wandering aimlessly in front of her. The Queen just disappeared behind Trump. It's like a royal eclipse. The only thing missing was Trump staring directly at it. Also, seriously, you're telling me this guy only weighs 239 pounds? He's so wide, he completely covered a monarch. He David Copperfielded the Queen. Trump was also asked during his trip about negotiations between Britain and the European Union over Brexit. In particular, he was asked about the prospect of a hard Brexit, which would involve the UK completely leaving the EU's single market. And it was clear from his answer that Trump had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. In fact, it almost seemed like he had never even heard the term hard Brexit before.
Because you are going to the UK, what will be your message on Brexit?
Well, Brexit is, I've been reading a lot about Brexit over the last couple of days, and it seems to be turning a little bit differently, where they're getting at least partially involved back with the European Union.
Heartbreaking.
Is it heartbreaking?
Heartbreaking.
Oh, hard Brexit, I see. I thought you said it was heartbreaking. I said, that might be going a little bit too far, right? Heartbreaking. Is it heartbreaking? A lot of things are heartbreaking. No, I would say that, you know, Brexit is Brexit.
Oh! Well, he's not wrong. Brexit is Brexit. Although I beg reporters at his next press conference, someone ask him where the word Brexit comes from. I bet he has no idea. Brexit, I think everyone knows, is the most important meal of the day. You gotta have your Brexit. Some mornings I have two Brexits. If Trump weren't so irredeemably awful, his stupidity would almost be...
heartbreaking.
Yeah. It would be hard Brexit. But Trump's answer managed to make even less sense after that. Watch as he somehow manages to ramble from the topic of Brexit to protesters to how many electoral votes he won in the 2016 election, while also making clear that he doesn't even know which countries are a part of the UK.
I just want the people to be happy. They're great people. And I do think I have, sure, there'll be protests because there are always protests. But I think there were protests the night of the election both ways. So, you know, we had a great night. Protests, there might be protests. But I believe that the people in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, as you know, I have property in Ireland, property all over. I think that those people, they like me a lot.
Oh my God, Ireland is not part of the UK. They famously fought like a ton of wars over it. Seriously, if you don't believe me, Donald, I dare you to go into any pub in Ireland and tell them that they are part of the UK. Then you can use their free healthcare to get the pint glass removed from your rectum. But if you thought all of that was bad, it was nothing compared to Trump's performance today with Putin. Before and during the summit, Trump was obviously very eager to impress Putin. At a press conference in Brussels last week, for example, Trump said, "Hopefully someday, maybe he'll be a friend." Now, compare that to what Trump had to say about our European allies yesterday during an interview in Scotland. Trump was asked who his biggest foe is. Now, you might expect that the country that invades its neighbors, interferes in our elections, and uses nerve gas on foreign soil might be the first to come to his mind. But, of course, Trump had a different answer.
Who's your biggest competitor, your biggest foe globally right now?
Well, I think we have a lot of foes. I think the European Union is a foe, what they do to us in trade. Now, you wouldn't think of the European Union, but they're a foe. Russia's a foe in certain respects. China's a foe economically, certainly. They're a foe. But that doesn't mean they're bad.
No, that's exactly what that means. If you call someone a foe, that means you think they're bad. You never heard Batman say the Joker is my greatest foe, but other than that, he's a really good dude. Also, the real foe is whoever said, "This is the best hat for your interview." Are you sure? Are you sure it's not too giant and white? And once Trump got to Finland, the charm offensive continued. Trump made clear that he was desperate to get in Putin's good graces by repeatedly offering nothing but gushing praise for Russia's hosting of the World Cup.
I also want to congratulate Russia and President Putin for having done such an excellent job in hosting the World Cup. It was really one of the best ever. And your team also did very well. It was a great job.
I'd like to congratulate you on a really great World Cup, one of the best ever, from what everybody tells me, one of the best ever, and also for your team itself doing so well. I watch quite a bit in the United States. We call it soccer.
Everyone knows we call it soccer. In the United States, Trump's like a college sophomore on his first trip abroad. You know, in America, we call the loo a toilet. But that doesn't even begin to capture how surreal this summit was. However low your expectations were, Trump managed to go much lower because just 3 days after the Justice Department issued an indictment of 12 Russian intelligence officials, offering some of the most specific evidence yet of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, the president of the United States twisted himself in knots to take Putin's side.
Our relationship has never been worse than it is now. However, that changed as of about 4 hours ago. Our militaries do get along very well. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. There was no collusion at all. It came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election. There was no collusion. I didn't know the president. What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails, gone, just gone. I think in Russia, they wouldn't be gone so easily. President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be. I'm sure we'll be meeting again in the future, often.
Can someone get Trump a glass of water? Because he's thirsty. It's only a matter of weeks. It's only a matter of weeks before he single white females Putin.
Do you like my haircut, Vlad?
So just to recap, Trump blamed the U.S. for Russian aggression, attacked the FBI and the special counsel's investigation, took Putin's sign on election meddling, attacked Democrats and Hillary Clinton with Putin standing next to him, and said Putin was strong and powerful. Can you imagine what their private meeting was like? I'm worried he let Putin annex one of the 50 states. Here's an electoral map. Pick one of the blue ones. Seriously, Trump gushes over Putin like a flustered 12-year-old who just met Mickey at Disneyland. And Putin treats him like a 12-year-old, as evidenced by the gift he gave the president.
President Trump has just mentioned that we've successfully concluded the World Football Cup. Speaking of the football, actually, Mr. President, I'll give this ball to you, and now the ball is in your court.
That's right, Putin got a propaganda victory and we got a soccer ball. You really think Trump's gonna play soccer? Look at him. The only way Trump would ever get near a soccer pitch is if he could stay in his golf cart. And it got worse from there because Trump went on to peddle an insane conspiracy theory by implying something fishy was going on with the DNC server that was hacked by the Russians.
You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server and what is the server saying? But I really do want to see the server. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server.
Oh my God, he sounds like your uncle trying to get the waiter's attention at a restaurant. Where is the server? I want more bread and I don't have any ketchup for my crumpets. Of course, Trump's behavior would be bizarre and suspicious on its own, but we also know, thanks to Mueller's indictment of 12 Russian intelligence operatives on Friday, that Russian hackers were not only helping Trump during the election, but responding directly to him when he issued that infamous plea in the summer of 2016 to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. You know, this one.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Remember when everyone was like, ha, Russia's not actually listening, right?
It now appears that Russia was listening, because on that very same day, Russian officials named in the indictment began hacking into Clinton's server.
Not only were they listening, they were taking orders. Everyone acted like it was a joke, but Trump acted like he was at a drive-thru.
Yeah, can I get 30,000 missing emails, illegal dirt on my opponent, and as many Big Macs as you can fit in this giant white hat?
Now, even if you put aside the mountains of evidence pointing toward collusion or Trump's financial ties to Russian oligarchs or the possibility that Russia has compromising information on him, there's also the fact that Trump has a very clear personal affinity for authoritarians like Putin. Yesterday, his national security advisor, John Bolton, was asked specifically about Trump's attacks on the media and deflected by talking about World War II.
Doesn't that contribute to exactly the kind of undermining of the free press that we see out of Russia?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. And let's just be clear. Franklin Roosevelt met with Joseph Stalin at a time when activity in Russia was a lot worse than it is today. So let's try and have some historical perspective here and not act like we have the attention span of fruit flies.
We have the attention span of fruit flies? The dude you work for thinks Ireland is part of the UK. And even a fruit fly can remember to let the queen go first. And on top of everything else, today a Russian woman who tried to broker a pair of secret meetings between Trump and Putin was charged and accused of working with Americans to carry out a secret Russian effort to influence American politics. So while that was happening, Trump was doing everything he could to ingratiate himself with Putin. He's selling out our democracy, and there's only one word for it.
Heartbreaking.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is an actor and comedian you know from such shows as Community and The Soup. He's the host of The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale, which is currently streaming on Netflix. Please welcome back to the show, Joel McHale. Hi, yeah. Buddy.
Nice to see you.
It's great to see you.
I love the reaction to the joke. We're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're like, fun dancing. Fun dancing. What does Joel have to say about the fun dancing? Oh.
Yeah, Matt Lauer. I like how your network, they were okay with that clip.
Yeah,
that
they didn't. I don't think anyone at this network pays attention to this show.
Oh,
yeah.
I was on Good Morning America, which is on some other network.
Yeah.
That was this morning, and there's this clip from this show called The Proposal, which is for 2 hours. Ladies show themselves in front of a man, and then he asks one of them to marry them at the end of 2 hours. totally classy. And they were like, we can't show that.
I was
like,
wow.
Because you're protecting the brand?
I was like, okay, I get it. All right. But that shows how cool NBC
we're
is.
We're very cool. This is very exciting. I want to talk about your show because I'm so happy you're doing this again. But I also want to congratulate you on this. 22 years married. You have a 22nd wedding anniversary coming up.
Yes, I've been married 22 times.
That's amazing.
22 different women.
That's different.
It is.
That's different.
It's this Friday. So,
wow.
You know, I might not make it. But yeah. we might run into problems. yes, I'm very.
Big plans?
Huge. I was going to take my beautiful wife Sarah to Tijuana.
Okay.
Stop it. And there's a really great.
This is true.
Okay. There's a restaurant there called Mission 19, and now the meal better be free. But I had all the plans ready to go, and we were going to stay in San Diego, and then it was all going well. I was looking for a hotel room, and I noticed I could find. No hotel rooms at all. I was looking at like whorehouses and meth dens, and I found one hotel room for $2,000 a night. And I was like, "Who do you think I am, Jimmy Fallon?" And so then I looked it up. I was like, "Oh, it's Comic Con."
Oh yeah.
And it was Comic
Con. The worst time to find a hotel room in San Diego.
Yeah, everyone will not be having sex in those hotel rooms, and it's. Clapping for their and I was like, the last thing I want to do is fight traffic, which with a bunch of people dressed as Khaleesi. So
yeah,
so now we're staying in town and we're going to a hotel.
Okay, perfect. So you're staying in LA.
Yeah.
Two boys. 13 and 10.
13 and 10.
I've got two boys as well. Obviously, I'm in the early stages.
Yeah. How old is the youngest?
3 months. So it's early days.
You're in baby jail.
Yeah.
That's called baby jail. So when. When you go to work, you're like, ugh, I gotta go to work, hon. And you leave, and you're like, phew.
Yeah.
Because she has the way harder job.
Oh, it is so much. What she is doing is so much harder than this nonsense.
And when you, I don't know if you got, but when you have a 6 month, 3 months?
Three months,
the other one?
Is 2 and 3 months.
If you go anywhere, you look like Matt Damon in The Martian dragging everything to the rocket. Because anything that you leave, you're dead.
The amount of gear. That's the thing they don't tell you is how much gear you need to raise kids.
Wait till you get to 13 and 10.
What are they into?
They have hair growing everywhere.
Okay.
The 13-year-old does.
Uh-huh.
And he says stuff like, can I have a Haagen-Dazs bar? And I was like, your voice is lower than mine. He's bigger than my wife now. They both smell. They smell great. But I don't know if you've heard of this video game, but they're into this game called Fortnite.
I've heard about Fortnite.
See?
Yeah.
Look at this. People are like, oh. See, a lot of people are like, do you limit the time? I'm like, no, play as much as you like. It's a great skill to have. And don't pursue important, but I.
Do you play with them ever?
It's such a difficult game now. They're good, and I am really bad. But then I got invited to a Fortnite tournament to play against the best Fortnite players on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And my kids, they were invited, and they were so happy at first. And they were like, I can't believe this. We're going to meet Ninja and Myth and Muselk. These are the best. If I said these names to a bunch of 15-year-olds, they'd be like, you met them? I told them. They were so happy. And then they freaked out. Then they were like, oh, no, you suck. You're going to embarrass us. And so my 10-year-old's like, you need to practice every day, all day long. I was like, don't worry. And then my 13-year-old's like, look, I'm not very good at this game, but I'm way better than you, and you're terrible. You need to get in there. And so my whole strategy, my partner was this guy named Markiplier, who, again, if I said this to 15-year-olds, they would take like carrot peelers and rip their skin off and present it to him and say, will you sign that? And he's a huge star. And I was at the LA Soccer Club's new stadium. And when they announced his name, people were like, took their shirts off and threw it. I mean, they limit it to 6,000 people. And it was huge. And so all I did in every game was hide.
Okay.
And I was just, a coward the whole time. I did the coward. I was in Loot Lake, and I just hid. And then I heard a guy running, and I ran up behind him and shot him. And my kids, and then Ninja died before me, so my kids were like, you're the greatest dad of all time.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how you did it, Dad.
Congratulations.
They're like, you didn't embarrass us. I can't believe it.
That seems like so much pressure, because I'm assuming Ninja and the likes, these are younger people.
No, they're in their 60s. Yeah, it's what retirees do instead of playing pinochle in the park.
It's the new thing. Yeah. It took over for shuffleboard.
Ninja is, he's actually a little bit older. I think he's like 25.
Gotcha.
And he's making $500,000 a month. So,
oh my God.
By sitting, like Drake, like logs on with him and they play. And he got, he won $1 million for the tournament. It was charity. He and Marshmello. Uh-huh. So a guy with blue hair. I'm not kidding.
And with all this money, they can't buy better names for themselves?
If they took that clip and showed it, they were like, Seth Meyers is dead. A guy with Marshmello. Again, I've said Marshmello to young kids, they'd be like, you touched him? And he won with this huge Marshmello mask on with Ninja, and it was so exciting.
I want to ask you, because you actually, you played college football.
Yes, this is quite a transition.
Because I think that there's this interesting question now that people who played football growing up, like, we now know about, like, the danger and safety of football.
Right.
Like, and video games, when we were young, everybody talked about how it, like, melted your brains and stuff. But now you look at these guys. I mean, these guys like Marshmello and Ninja, they genuinely are now athletes.
And celebrities.
Yeah, and you kind of go, oh, that might be safer than the thing our parents were telling us to go outside and do when we were young.
Yeah, their knees will be fine.
Yeah.
If anything, they'll die from all their blood pooling to their feet.
Yeah.
And they can't move, and they just bleed out through their feet, I guess.
Yeah.
But these guys, I go on Twitch some. My kids, when I'm like, please get off Fortnite. They're like, can we watch TV? Sure. And then they turn on Twitch and are watching Ninja play Fortnite. And I'm like, this is not what I'm talking about.
Speaking of your kids, you're already an awesome dad because you outlasted Ninja in Fortnite. But you have an announcement to make.
Oh,
and I will be honest,
for
announcements made on this show, I think this will have the biggest effect as far as making people happy. Go for it.
Yeah. You're where
this
am I?
Is
right here?
Kids, yeah.
Okay. All right, kid. Their names are Eddie and Isaac. Okay, so we have this friend who's, we have two dogs right now named Harry and Cowboy. I'll explain that later. But our friend had some French bulldog puppies, and we've been watching videos of them. I'm here to announce that I bought one of them, and this is it. Okay. So here's the deal, guy. Where am I?
You
so
go.
Bad at this. I only have one camera at the other show. So it's like, here's the deal, guys. Okay, I bought the dog. It's your dog. You get to name it and all that. It's named Seth. But you need to feed that thing every day, and you need to give it water, because I'm not going to do it this time. This is yours, but you got to feed that thing, okay? That's all.
All right.
That's the only
response. That's a great announcement.
Put the Xbox controller down and feed the new dog.
All right. Well, that's a fantastic announcement.
So there you go, kids. Yeah.
So exciting. Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale. Obviously, this is feels very much like The Soup, which is a show we loved a great deal.
Thank you.
You've been watching. It sort of started as you watching reality shows. Now you watch a lot of stuff on YouTube. There's a whole new world of things to find that you show clips of. Are there things? What are your favorite things to watch right now?
Twitch is a channel of people just playing video games, which gives us a lot. And then, of course, YouTube has turned into this thing, and like we show clips of a guy who shaved his head and then put ketchup all over the hair and ate it to get more followers on YouTube, which shows a certain lack of parenting. I didn't realize how many spinoffs of the Jersey Shore there was. I mean, let alone that the Jersey Shore came back and all those people are alive, which is. And it's not sad at all to watch a bunch of people in their late 30s getting wasted. But now there's Geordie Shore, which is a British version of the show. Mm-hmm. They're just as awful. And there's also Warsaw Shore, which is out of Poland, which is odd because Warsaw is 200 miles away from any shore. So, and they're like, we don't care.
Yeah, we're just...
we're just getting drunk. We can't, maybe there's a riverbank nearby. But there's still all the, there's still, you know, The Bachelor. So thank God.
Yeah.
Because when you see attractive, insane people trying to hook up, it really shows that it's great to be alive.
Yeah. And we're very lucky to have you there to sort of usher us through it all. It's always such a pleasure to have you
here. Oh, I'm not done. I'd like to talk about more things.
Okay, no, great. Thank you so much for being here,
thank
Joel.
You for
always
having me.
Give it up for Joel McHale, everybody. Joel McHale Show. Joel McHale's going to stream on Netflix.
Hey, this is Kevin. We are backstage with the host of The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on Netflix. Joel McHale, who is currently changing his clothes as we record this podcast.
Action. You're interviewing me, aren't you?
Yeah.
Who is the most famous person that's done this? Again, a little picture of what's happening. I'm putting on shoes. I am pulling reverse Mr. Rogers here. Actually, it is a Mr. Rogers because I'm getting more casual. I'm wearing these all-canvas Jordans that I love so
Those
much.
Those are cool.
I hope I Those get free ones. So Seth Rogen did it.
Yeah, Seth Rogen did it.
And he was like, hur, hur, hur.
Exactly.
He's a savant of comedy. He scares me how good he is.
Yeah.
And then I go, oh, that's right. That's why he's a movie star now, big movie producer, because he has this crazy way. It's not crazy. It's just go, oh, you have this. Your talent is huge, and obviously he's exploited it very well. But when the camera went on, I was like, oh, that's why he's Seth Rogen, because he's so good.
Yeah. You guys have had Seth Rogen, Jack Black. Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant.
Yep. And let's see. Lou Diamond Phillips is on.
It's great with the new
Justin
show.
Justin Hartley from This Is Us. Gillian Jacobs from a little show called Parks and Rec. This six episodes is star studded. Chrisman's Plass from The Great Indoor. Oh, that's right. No one remembers that.
With the new show, congrats on The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale. We were just talking about the Chicks Man that you used to do.
Chicks Man, yeah.
Yeah.
My friend Dominic, that was his voice. He also played Mankini. He is now One Piece Man. I've known Dominic since I was a fifth grader. Mrs. Busey was our teacher at St. Monica's in Mercer Island, Washington. It's a suburb of Seattle. And Nick was the best man at my wedding.
Wow.
And I hired him because he's one of the funniest people I know.
Do you have a lot of people you grew up with?
They're
all dead now. Yeah.
That are still into comedy?
Yeah.
My two best friends growing up, Dominic and this guy named Ethan Sandler, who actually went to Northwestern with Seth Meyers.
Oh, really?
Ethan is a writer, a successful writer in Hollywood, and does tons of work and works all the time. And I have, and Nick has been working with me since the beginning of The Soup. So,
gotcha.
He's been very nice to write some. He wrote this thing called we did this version of True Detective that got our only Emmy nomination, and he got that. It's great. Anyway, I'm not stopping talking. Anyway, so the show's back and you're like, what's the show like? We have no commercials.
Yep.
We say f*** now.
Yep.
And it's not that we say it all the time, but it's nice to be able to say. It's really fun. It's a totally different thing now, and it's I didn't think being away for 2 years things would change so much.
Yeah.
But it really has as far as the scope of what we can draw from. So all the streaming stuff and all the streaming shows, YouTube and Twitch and all that. It's been great.
The way these last six episodes were released all at once. Did you guys bank those? And
so we kind of took everything that happened this summer in reality and just stuck it all into these episodes that we felt. And then we try to gather everything from around the world. And
because you're global now with Netflix, right?
Yeah. That's why we're huge in the Philippines. I don't think we are. I don't know. Maybe they are. Yeah, like there's a whole Ugandan film thing going now. And we showed some of their trailers and stuff, and they're nuts and wonderful. It reminds me of like early Hong Kong cinema in the 90s. I was like, oh, these guys are just doing it over the top. It's great.
Yeah.
So we've opened it all the, and we still do all the old shows, not the old, but they're still very entertaining. Anything that has the word Atlanta or Housewives is always very great for us.
Yeah.
And, Of course, The Bachelor never stops giving. Bear Grylls still around.
Yep.
And still doing unnecessarily dangerous things. Okay. This was very fun.
Good to see you again.
I'm doing The View tomorrow. It won't be nearly as fun. I'm kidding. It'll be so fun, ladies.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.